Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Mr. President, distinguished delegates.
Yalam Satata, Awakina, Lassalam Gudaim, Masanakil, Honutun Hulu, Ainatanyach Groj, Zilai, Linataksacho, and Fakadalden.
Since the beginning of modern civilization, generations of weakness and inherited the only conflicts of world wars. But behold the marriage supper of the lamb and bridegroom unto his bride. Then shall the earth's children know the true expression of one love. Then Mother Earth shall honeymoon in peace, forever eliminating aspirations, lust, and anguish of wars and rumors of war.
And we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator, God, Allah, with an uncertain, inalienable rights, that are among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted by and among men and women, deriving their just powers for the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter it or to abolish it and to institute a new government. That's what I'm going to talk about today. Before I do, I have a just quick announcement for those who will be in the Los Angeles area, or actually Ventura area. On October 22nd, I will be at a place at a beautiful shop called the Soul Center in Ojai, California, where I will be teaching on October 22nd at 11 a.m. I will be teaching there a special class of Kabbalah, a foundation of understanding, practical Kabbalah, along with the utterances of the Holy Chant used by Rav Avulafia, meditation, utilization, visualization, intro class will also include understandings of Ein Sof, infinity, soul, wisdom, understanding, creative, love, Merkava, out of body, known as the three pillars of Kabbalah, the three ways of the righteous of Daniel, some of the aspects of numbers of what and why they are used. So please come and check it out. If you got questions about, please contact them at 805-640-8222, and hope to see you. That's actually a week from tomorrow. Now back to things at hand. And I always keep on reading, it is 1776 today. It is. But this call is not just for in America. I'm not asking, I am telling you all, tomorrow, on October 15th, I call upon you, I call upon all humanity to occupy. This isn't just a request, this is what needs to be done. To stand up. This is your opportunity in history to make a difference, not just for yourself, but for your children and children's children and so on. This is a thing that needs to be done now. The start is a start. This is not a revolution. It is a revolution of the mind. So don't complain. Occupy. If you've lost your home, you have no health care, or it's simply crap care. If you lost your job or fear of it, if you hate how the economy has become, you have no excuse. Occupy. If you're paying for more while working for less, don't complain. Occupy. If you're tired of being in debt, paying this and paying that just to keep up, occupy. If you're tired, simply tired of hearing how much taxes you pay and how much the government is in debt. Occupy. Do you even know why we are in this illusion called debt? What if I told you that it was a lie, a fraud? What if I told you you don't have to be born in debt? What if I told you you don't have to be born into slavery? What if I told you don't have to be born in debt, whether you think you are rich or not? If even if you are wealthy, or you think you are wealthy, you are still ultimately a slave. You are not the one percenter. But then it's not about them. It's not us versus them. So why are you complaining? If you're complaining, you shouldn't be. You should be out there on the street and occupying. Or shut the fuck up. And be their bitch. If that's what you want to be. Are you a bitch to them? Are you their slave? Are you nothing? Then stand up for your rights. Stand up and be heard. Stand up and occupy. First, I want to say that Occupy Wall Street is not a left movement or a labor movement or a democratic movement or a liberal movement or a progressive movement. It is a people, all people movement. It is a movement against the tyranny of our monetary system. We are not slaves to this illusion called debt. Wake up, America. Wake up, humanity. Now, one thing I got to tell you. The media doesn't get it. Or they probably do, but there's a camouflage of it. This is not a left-wing movement or any kind of wing movement. Like I said, it's not a labor movement. It is not a Democratic Party movement or any kind of party movement. It is, in fact, a people movement. Like I said, it's an all-people movement. This is about finally waking up, becoming awakened to the lie of the debt. This is about awakening to the fact that the Fed, the Federal Reserve, is a fraud. This is a revolution, not of arms, a revolution of the mind, a revolution in the people's mind, a revolution in your mind. We, the people, are taking it back. What of the people, by the people, for the people really means. This does not just apply in the United States. This is for all humanity. We, the people, recognize the fraud of the Federal Reserve and its banksters. We, the people, have had enough. We, the people, are removing our slave chains of this illusion called debt. We, the people, say enough is enough. And the media has been the commercial camouflage for these banksters. That's why they resist broadcasting it or mentioning it or try to make it into a left versus thing or bullshit kind of thing or us against them kind of thing. The media are liars like the banksters. And we have had enough time for the people in the media to become people. Those people, you are people in the media. You are not simply Tories to the banksters. So I ask all you out there, well, are you upset? Are you complaining? Bad economy got you down. Healthcare, not what it's supposed to be. No job or bad job. Lost your home, your pension, anxiety. Gee, your retirement. Is it going to be there or is it already diminished? College. Are you going to college and you don't have the tuition? Or do you want to send your kids to college, but sorry, you don't have enough money? Or maybe you want to borrow to your debt is up to your ears? Food. You're counting how much you can actually eat. Look how much things are costing you. You have to work more for the less. Your clothes on your back, your rent, your mortgage, your bills, your gas, your electricity, your loans, your credit cards, it never ends. things look pretty bleak, don't they? Uncertain or what? Not so cool, are they? So why are you so apathetic? Why are you just sitting on your fucking ass and just sitting there with your... going, what can I do? Well, there's the problem. Someone said, oh, just get a job. Then what? You have a job. Then what? You're on the same ride, in debt, working as a slave, paying off that debt. What is that debt? So tell me, now that you got a job, how secure are you, really? Do you like being bent over and fucked by the system? I mean, does it feel that great, even if they give you something called Vaseline from time here and there? This Vaseline could be called all kinds of carrots, retirement, better run for your children, hope and real change, or maybe just don't mind being the bitch in this prison planet. Do you? Well, once they've done the fucking you over, do you think it's going to ever get better? Do you think it's going to change to a better? Maybe there is a change for your detriment. Maybe the change is not your hope. Hope is an illusion as hollow as fear. Let me ask you this. Do you know why we are in this situation? Are you even aware of what really is going on? Many people are going, what are the banksters? What are these bankers? What is the situation? Are you even aware? If you aren't, educate. Then educate and explain. Tell others. Explain them the realities. Your neighbors, your friends, your families. Even your governmental folks. Even the senators, congressmen. Hell, they don't even know. They put their heads between their legs. Well, here it is. How and what is the Federal Reserve? Now, what I'm about to tell you does not just apply to the Federal Reserve owners, but also applies to the Bank of England. Which, by the way, oh, Great Britain, is not a public entity. Who runs it? The Queen of England, who does delegates, who is on the board, who have private meetings. They're exactly the same as the Federal Reserve. You think you got a charter? Go look up the fucking charter of 1940 and who implements it. It's never been really established. Your Bank of England is private. It is not a public entity. It is run by the Queen of England, who delegates, who is on the board, hello, who has private meetings. Have you ever saw a meeting? Has it been on TV? Do you know what goes on behind their doors? No, you don't. So who are the real owners of the Federal Reserve and the Bank of England? Gee, I wonder why and how you don't know. Well, you ever heard of the Morgans? Have you ever heard of the Rockefellers? I know you probably heard also of the Rothschilds, whose real names are the Bowers. And of course, you must have heard of the Windsor family. Oh, Queen of England, oh, Great Britain. Those are the owners. These are the four families. These are a fact. They own the Federal Reserve. They own the Bank of England. Don't believe me? Look it up yourself. See the track record. See who implemented it. See who implemented policy. See who benefits from it. That tells you everything. Gee, ever wonder why old Great Britain never went on the euro? Do you notice how the consolidation of world wealth is run through the Federal Reserve? Do you know where the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is established from? Oh, yes. Who implements it? Think again. Why do you think the UN is on, Rockefeller's land? So, let me ask you this. Do you know anything about what they think? There's a thing called fractional banking? What it really is? Are you even aware of that thing called fractional banking? Well, it's very unique. And how, what it does. If you don't know and aren't aware, well, then become aware, because it is the truth to learn what is really going on, the truth of what is happening and has been happening under your very eyes, under a facade. By the way, the Federal Reserve is just by name only. It's been carefully crafted to use that name. By the way, the Federal Reserve has no established governmental processes. The board and everything else about it has private banksters on its board, run by private banksters, owned by private banksters, whose procedures are known private banksters. This is the same with the Bank of England. So I tell you, we are not slaves. We no longer need or will be slaves to the banksters. This is why I say to you all, Occupy Wall Street. Or someone you know has happened, let me just tell you, possibly something economically. If not yourself, I doubt it, because everybody's crying the blues. So has the economy got you down? So let me explain a few facts. What is the Federal Reserve and why do we have it? The Federal Reserve is a central bank. Central banks are supposed to implement a country's fiscal policies. They're supposed to monitor the commercial banks to ensure they maintain sufficient assets like cash so as to remain solvent and stable. Now, central banks are also to do business such as currency exchange and gold transaction with other central banks. Now, in theory, a central bank—that sounds a pretty good idea for any country. That might be if it wasn't for this one simple fact that they are not controlled or owned by the government of the country they are serving. Get it? That's the whole problem. Private central banks, including our Federal Reserve, operate not in the interest of the public, but for profit. That's right, profit. The Federal Reserve isn't public, it is privately owned, and I'd say it again, it is a fact. And who owns it? Well, here's a little bit of history of how the three central banks occurred in the United States, and you can see their historical function. There have been three. The first two, while deceptive, fraudulent, pale in comparison to the scope and the size of the present fraudulent one that were being perpetrated by our current Federal Reserve, what they have all in common is one insidious practice known as fractional banking. Now, like I said, what is fractional banking and how is it being used in the central bank? This is important to understand what fractional banking is, or fractional lending. Is the ability to create money from nothing, lending it to the government or someone else, and charge interest along with it. The practice evolved before banks even existed. In fact, it was goldsmiths who rented out this space in their vaults to individuals and merchants for storage of their gold and silver. So what the goldsmiths did was gave their depositors a certificate in the amount of gold they had. Well, these certificates are then used to conduct business, like modern currency. Get it? In time, goldsmiths went, hey, you know what? I noticed that the gold in my vault was barely being withdrawn. So what did they do? They took small amounts, moved in. They know small amounts would move in and out, while the large majority never really moved. Sensing an idea here of making some profit, the goldsmiths issued what they call double receipts for their interest, for the gold that's established there, effectively making up what isn't there. This is effectively creating money from nothing, thus lending those certificates, creating a debt to depositors, charging them interest as well. In other words, it was like they had gold, let's say $10 of gold, so now they made a certificate, they have $10 they gave to one person, but now they said, okay, we're going to make up a bunch of new ones. It's, fraud. They made up 10 to 1, for example, which is what the present banking works. 10 to 1 marginalizing, as they call it. Since the certificates represented more gold than actually existed, the certificate was certainly fractionally backed by gold. Get it? That's where the term fractional banking came from. Eventually, some of these vault operations were transformed into banks. And the practice of fractional banking continued. Now, you got to keep in mind with this fractional banking concept. as we examine our first central bank of the United States. The first central bank of the United States, it was created after a bitter dissent within the Congress in 1791 and chartered for approximately 20 years. A scam, not unlike the current one. Our first central bank used it to control the currency to defraud the public and establish a legal form of usury. This practiced fractional bank lending at a 10-to-1, $10 of loan for each dollar they had deposit. This misuse and abuse of this public charter continued for entire 20 years of their existence, and public outrage over these abuses was such that the charter was not renewed and the bank ceased to exist in 1811. Unfortunately, the War of 1812 left the country, the United States, in economic chaos. And seeing by the bankers another opportunity for easy profits, they influenced Congress to charter the second central bank. Second central bank of the United States occurred in 1816. Again, this is what they did. A 10-to-1 ratio sounds pretty familiar, so they continued. Remember, mortgages being sold at leverage is 10-to-1. This is how the economic collapse. And those, we all know what happened after that, right? You know why the collapse. It was a manufacturer to collapse. Who would buy these back at 10 cents to the dollar? Of course, companies like AIG, Deutsche National, you know what happens with your taxes. Your taxes, you basically bank it up. They have a win-win on you. Then, of course, they give their buddies all bonuses, right? This is what Vegas would say, you're just simply a sucker. And that's what they look at you. You are a sucker. And like George Collins, these are the same owners that George Collins once talked about, and you ain't one of them unless you're, of course, the royalty of the Queen of England or happen to have the last name of Rockefeller or Rothschild or Morgan. So that's what they mean by that top of that pyramid with the little eye looking down, eh? So anyway, back to the second central bank. It was more expensive than the first central bank, so the second was sold its franchise and literally doubled the number of banks in a short period of time. The country began to boom a move westward, which required money. So what do? They utilize this fractional lending at 10-to-1. And the central bank and their franchise created a debt money for expansion. Things seemed to boom for a while. Then what did the banks decide to do? Shut the debt. Shut the monies, citing they needed to control inflation. This action on part of the second central bank caused bankruptcies and foreclosures. The banks, what do they do now? Of course, they took the assets that were used as security against the loans. They had a win-win. It was sucker bet. It was setting them up. If you closely examine how the second central bank engineered this cycle of prosperity and depression, you can see what's happening in today's world. The central bank caused inflation by creating debt and money for loans and credit, making these funds readily available. So everybody was out there borrowing, right? Sounds familiar. Buy a house. Get this. Economy is booming. 1990s. Oh, wow. Everything's going great. Buy. Oh, my God. Then they use inflation as an excuse, and they say, oh, we got to cut down our credit. So what do? They remove the money out of the system. They start creating chaos. A shortage of cash caused the economy to falter, and slowly, dramatically, large numbers of business personal bankers resulted in this second central bank. So then the central bank then would seize assets, use as collateral for these loans, and the wealth created by the borrowers during this boom was then transferred to the central bank during the bust. Sound familiar? This, like I said, happened in 2008 and it's still happening. Isn't that what's happening in the EU, Ireland, Greece, so on, Spain, Italy, Portugal, in the US? Well, we all know about this phenomenon, the foreclosures, the business falling, loss of jobs. Air America, don't worry, there will be jobs again. You'll just be working for a lot less. That's the plan, perhaps. Now, you do think it is, who do you think is responsible for all these ups and downs in our economy over the last 85 years? Think about it. The depression of the late 20s all the way through the 30s. The Fed could have easily dumped lots of cash into the market to stimulate the economy and get the country back out of it on the track. But did they? No. In fact, they purposely restricted money supply and quite severely. And we all know the results of what happened, don't we? Now, why would the Federal Reserve do this? During the period when assets and value stocks were at their bottom prices, who do you think would be buying every asset since the dollar? Think about it. This is what is really considered the consolidation of wealth. You know, people often hear, you heard about people of, you know, supplying the wealth or re-movement of wealth. This is what's really movement of wealth. It's going to the upper 1%. Now, many times this has happened over the last 85 years, right? I mean, do you all think about it again? Think about our little episode we had 2008, what TARP deal. Where our own taxes paid for these banks to buy them back so they can buy assets at 10 cents of the dollar. I'm telling you from my own knowledge, I know this. I saw paper that was bought a property, let's say in Vegas, by Deutsche National, who owns the like 50 to 70% of the paper that's in mortgages in Las Vegas. How the hell can Deutsche National get this money? Well, they got it through AIG, who then went back, who AIG lost the property, right? Remember all that scandal? It's a game. And who's on the top of all this game? The Federal Reserve. Just as I point out, and a side point, and so I was trying to explain to you, look at today's economy. Markets are climbing by why? Because the Fed has been very liberal with its credit. The market was in hyperinflation or moving up toward an end. And what do? They create this inflation and they also create the recession. The Fed does this. The governments and policies do not rule the central bank and central banks. They are ruled by the central banks, rule governments and politicians. Now, getting back to the historical understanding, back when the second central bank and President Andrew Jackson, after he won the presidency in 1828, immediately promised to end national debt, like what we have today. And what did he do to remove the debt? He eliminated the central bank. How simple is that? Get rid of our fucking Federal Reserve, and you know what? 80-90% of our debt would be gone. Because that debt that we owe to the Federal Reserve is an illusion. Did you hear me? 10-1? 10-1 to what? Make-believe. We owe the Federal Reserve 10-1 make-believe. You know that billions upon trillions? You can. That's a multiplying effect. If you can, 89% of that is make-believe. It is not real. Now, during his second term, President Jackson, after he withdrew all, what he immediately did was withdrew all government funds from the bank and dissolved the Second Reserve. And in January 8, 1835, he in fact paid off the national debt. He in fact is the only president in history to have done this in distinction. The charter of the central bank was expired in 1836, meaning it was gone. So now, look what happened from 1836. Without a central bank to manipulate the supply of money, what happened to the United States for the next 60 to 70 years? The result was wealth. It was not for the bankers to endure, it was for the masses of America. The average Americans were actually a first time in history, a middle class grew. A large middle class grew within the United States. More predicated than even in the 50s, comparatively, way more. So, in 1910, Senator Nelson Aldrich, by the way, who happened to be married to, his wife was Rockefeller, in fact, married to the Rockefeller. So he was also, by the way, associated, he also was in the family of the Morgans. Oh, yeah, that's right. So then what did he do? Senator Aldrich, who happened to be the chairman of the National Monetary Commission, in collusion with representatives of the European Central, we devised a plan to pressure and deceive the Congress into enacting a legislation that would covertly establish a new private central bank. this bank would assume control of all the United States economy by controlling the issuance of its money, controlling the issuance of its currency. After a huge public relations campaign engineered by the central foreign banks, the Federal Reserve 1913 Act was slipped through Congress. Slipped through, because it was even having a problem going through Congress with all their publicity. So during the night hours of the Christmas recess, when most of a lot of the Congress absent, President Roosevelt was pressured to, by his act, Roosevelt Financial signed it into act on December 23rd, 1913. The act created the Federal Reserve System, a name which was carefully selected to design and deceive the public. Federal, would one would think to believe, that is associated with a government organization, a reserve, which would one would believe that the currency is backed by gold and silver. The system was in lieu of the word bank, so that one would conclude that the new central bank had been created. But in reality, the act actually created a private for-profit central bank corporation owned by the cartel of the private banks. And who owns the Federal Reserve again? The Rothschilds, the Bowers, the Windsors, the Rockefellers, the Morgan families. Yeah, you're wondering, how do I know that? Well, you know why the Bank of England never would have a euro, like I said. And you know that the Bank of England is actually still owned by the Windsors and the Bowers, or Rothschilds. And by the way, did you know that the Federal Reserve is the only for-profit corporation in America that is exempt from both federal and state taxes? Nope. They're not even audited. The Federal Reserve takes in, listen to this, and this is old facts. I don't even know how, this is probably about 10 years old. They take about $1 trillion per year tax-free. $1 trillion per year tax-free profit. Think of that $1 trillion, that profit. If that $1 trillion was put back into our government, what would happen to our budget? Do you see what I'm talking about? If there was no Federal Reserve, we would not be paying, we would not be in a national debt. We would not be slaves to this bullshit of an illusion called debt, this fabrication. Almost everyone thinks that the money that you pay in taxes actually goes to the U.S. Treasury, but in fact it doesn't. It goes directly to pay for the expenses of the government. That's what you think you're told what it's for. But look on your check. The canceled check tells you where it goes. I'm just telling you. Look on the back of your check. And even though you make payable to the IRS on top, you'll see that it's endorsed by what? Pay any FRB branch of General Depository for Credit, USC Treasury. This is a payment of U.S. obligation. Yes, that's right. Every dime you pay in income tax, is given to those private banking families known as the Federal Reserve. Again, pay any FRB, Federal Reserve Bank. That's what it says. Pay any Federal Reserve Bank. That's what's stamped on it. Didn't say pay the Treasury or pay the United States government on the back. It's endorsed over to pay any Federal Reserve Bank branch, because that's where your taxes go. The Federal Reserve. That's where you think you're paying taxes to the government. You think you're paying taxes to build roads. You think you're paying taxes to pay for things that they're just lying to you. 90% of the monies you pay out goes to the Federal Reserve. And what kind of money is this? It's monopoly. I mean, our money is worth as much as monopoly money in reality. But like many of you had some sort of difficulty maybe of catching on to this concept of creating money from nothing, because this is what it is. You may have heard the term monetizing the debt, which is kind of sort of the same thing. It's an example: if the government wants to borrow $1 million, the government does borrow every dollar it spends. So what they do is they go to the Federal Reserve to borrow the money. The Federal Reserve calls the Treasury and prints out what they call 10,000 Federal Reserve notes in the notes of $100 bills. Look at the dollar. It says note on there. Note. Note is a promissory note. It is not currency. It is a note. Okay, now what happens is the Treasury charges the Fed 2.3 cents for each note that's printed, right? For every $230. That's out of 10,000 notes that are printed. The Fed then lends the $1 million back to the government at face value plus interest. And we know it's not real currency because nowadays it's all done through computers. So there is no even print. So there's no cost. To add injury to insult, the government has to create a bond, a $1 million security bond against this loan that was made out of thin air. You've heard of treasury bonds. That's what treasury bonds are. They're like making a bond against something that never existed. The treasury bond is made up against a currency, against a note that never existed. It's loaned out of air. So what happens? The rich simply get richer. The bulb is just an example of what I'm trying to explain to you. Because in reality, the Federal Reserve doesn't even print the money. It's a computer entry in a accounting system. To put this more in a personal way, let's use another example. It's today's banks, it's just simply, if I take something out of nothing and go, here, I'm lending you, Joe Schmo, $4,000 of Monopoly money. Now you have to give me a note, a sign off that you owe me those $4 million of Monopoly money. Is that Monopoly money real? No. If I was telling you we're playing Monopoly, that's exactly what's going on. Now, today's banks are members of the Federal Reserve System. This membership makes it legal for them to create money from nothing and to lend it to you. Today's banks are like the goldsmiths of old. They realize that only a fraction of the money deposits in their banks is ever actually withdrawn in the form of cash. Only approximately 4% of all money that exists is in the form of currency, by the way. And the rest is obviously like some nines. Probably even gotten less. It's probably now, that was based upon 10 years record. I think it's approximately now maybe even 98%. So it's 2% of the currency is in actually paper. So let's say, example, you've approved to borrow $10,000 to do some home improvements. You know that bank didn't actually have $10,000 of cash sitting in its bank or piled somewhere. What they do, they simply went into their computer, place an entry of $10,000 into your account. That's right. When you borrow $10,000, they just go, oh, here's $10,000. They literally created that entry from thin air. The DEMP, which is secured, must be secured by the 10-to-1 ratio. When it goes over the 10-to-1, that's when the Federal Reserve comes in, the FDIC, oh, you guys fucked up. But they always have to maintain a minimum of 10-to-1 ratio. So if they have, for every dollar they have, they can lend out $10. Get it? That's what the Federal Reserve does. It's make-believe. Because even that $1 that was made up by the Federal Reserve, we know what that dollar is. It's a note. Make-believe. So now they're making make-believe times 10 times make-believe. It sort of puts a new slant on how you really see your friendly bank now, doesn't it? You're starting to see the examples of how this is all BS. How about those loan committees that scrutinize you with a microscope before getting your loan? Now, they created this from thin air. Why the hoot? They make it seem more complex for a reason. They don't want you to understand what they're doing. They want people to fear they do not understand. They want you to be easily deluded and controlled with ignorance and be afraid. By making all these complex things, they make you think you're really getting something for nothing. And making your heart look like you're really, really getting that loan. The loan of what? It's an illusion. Now, to put the frosting on the cake, as they say, when was the income tax created? Trying to think. When did we start having to pay income tax in the United States? 1913. Isn't that coincidence? The same time the Federal Reserve was created? Yeah, that's right. Now, is that a coincidence or what are the odds? If you're going to use the Federal Reserve to create debt, who's going to pay you the debt? So what they do, they create an income tax. The income tax was created to complete the illusion that there was real money when we know it isn't. It had been lent, and therefore real money had to be repaid back. It is simply a trick of illusionary trick. Now, you are aware that in 1895, income tax was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. Of course, they tried to put this a new amendment, I think it was Amendment 16, to change that. But wouldn't that be an unconstitutional amendment? So, what can be done? This is what I ask you. We, the people, don't have to just take the action what happened. We can wake up. We, the people, are no more or no less than what it was yesterday. This is what occupation is. This is, you can send letters and inform and delegate this information to your elected officials and to everybody until you're blue in the face. Do so. But you know what you need to do? Go occupy and educate yourself and everybody around you. Many of our representatives, our elected representatives, I'll tell you straight up, don't even know what the Federal Reserve is. Ask the average American what the Federal, they have no clue what the Federal Reserve is. They have dollars and they think it's something. They don't even know what those are notes are. They don't even know why you really have to pay taxes. Here's a fact for you. And this is the reality. It says, under the Constitution, and most people want to plead ignorance and remain silent, but you do not have to. This is what I'm talking about. In Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution specifically says that Congress is the only body that can coin money and regulate the value thereof. Only. The United States Constitution never has been amended to allow anyone other than the Congress to coin and regulate currency. So, the Federal Reserve, in actuality, is unconstitutional. So why is it being challenged? Out of fear and ignorance. Straight up. Fear and ignorance. Again, ask any of your representatives, in light of this information, how it is possible that the Federal Reserve Act and the Federal Reserve Bank that it was created to be constitutional. They will not know how to answer you. Ask them why this is a private banking tower which allows reap of trillions of dollars in profit without paying taxes. They won't know how to tell you. Ask them why it's never been actually a real audit and ever since this date existed. Insist on answer. They will not have an answer. So now, you know why we are supposedly in debt. There was a great man who once said, if the American people ever allowed private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their prosperity until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. That was said by Thomas Jefferson. I mean, that sounds almost like prophetically what happened is now. We, the people, have allowed private banks to control the issuance of our currency. That's the Federal Reserve making our money. And then they've had inflation and deflation. The banks and the corporations go all around us. And what they're doing, depriving people of their prosperity. People are dying, losing everything. And then how many people are homeless? How many people have been deprived? There are idiots out there who say, oh, why don't they just get a job? Yeah, and then what? Then what? Working 10 cents on the dollar now as opposed to a dollar for a dollar? Working more for less? Paying more in debt? Being on another hamster wheel? Are we fucking hamsters? We're not hamsters. We're human beings. Jefferson saw coming out 150 years ago this thing. Can you see what is in store for us and why we allow the Federal Reserve to continue controlling our country? I'm asking you. Mayor Amschel Rothschild, whose real name is Meyer Bauer, once said, "Let me issue and control a nation's money. I care not who writes its laws." Think about that. I don't, as long as I'm making their money, I don't care who writes their laws. I control the country. He said it himself. The banker. The banksters. I mean, Thomas Jefferson adamantly opposed the idea of any privately owned federal bank. And he once said, I sincerely believe the banking institutions having the issue of power of money are more dangerous to liberty than standing armies. Look at it today. Who runs the world? Why we have so many wars? Why we have an industrial complex that is worldwide? Why is the world suffering? Why are there wars? Why are there conflicts? Who are really behind all these conflicts? They play people off against each other. Why? Think about it. Now, there was, according to, this is regarding Amendment 16, which supposedly created the powers of the IRS. And you can read this up on your by yourself. A gentleman by the name of Bill Benson and Red Beckman wrote up in the book, The Law That Never Was. And you can check it, because I looked at it, and it's actually a reality. The 16th Amendment, which created and confirmed the powers of the IRS, was never properly ratified. Yes, it was never properly ratified. Not even by one state. How did they get through? I mean, all these gentlemen traveled, and then 48 states were never verified to have been certified that it's been ratified. So, in a very real sense, the income tax isn't really legal, as they have been claiming it is. By trying to not paying it, and you'll see how far you get before the feds come after you, right? Confiscate everything. Think about why. The Federal Reserve and the IRS have become like the mobsters of today. They're like, as the Italians used to say, the black hand. We have the black hand on us. These are the extorting elements within our society around humanity. It is the banksters. There's another interesting fact. You can look in the, since 19, from 1933, the Federal Reserve, because the Bank of the United States was bankrupt, it had a form of collateralization in order, what they did, so the loan money to the government, the Federal Reserve, required the people to be the collateralization of any future holdings. So we became its assets. Yeah. The people became assets. What are we, like, slaves, you know, we're objects. If you don't believe me, look it up. Why do you think your name is always in caps? Look at the birth certificate. Why are we always, it's always under, like, we are like on an admiralty law, or like births of, on birth certificate, it looks like a birth of a ship. Henry Ford once said, "It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetization, for if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow." You hear that? Even Henry Ford, the little asshole, said, enough that people of our nation understood our banking system, there would be a revolution. If they really knew it, that tells you people in this country need to wake up, America. Read, understand what's really what our banking system is, and you will freak out. In nearly 100 years of existence of the Federal Reserve, it has never been audited, like I said. It has never paid taxes on billions and billions and billions they take in, or trillions. And I'm going on a bad estimate, according to the Congressional Record of the United States government, way back when, the Federal at any time paying $450 million, that was about half of the money that we pay them daily. The U.S. government can buy back, by the way, the Federal Reserve for $450 million. That's it. $450 million? And then we can tell the Federal Reserve, bye-bye, we don't need you no more. That is pretty interesting, huh? Pretty simple. Kill our debt. Pay out $450 million. That's not even a, a, a blip on the. That's not even a day in Iraq. And we pay. We can tell the Federal Reserve to go bye bye. But do we have the? But what we do have, we have the most stupid or most corrupt leaders in the world, or what? It seems that their number one concern is getting reelected. They seem to think that nothing else is important except for shirking their responsibilities to the people who elected them in the first place. The most powerful, prestigious, high-paying jobs ever. Congress likes the Fed because they can spend all they want with no restraints. They keep on putting on the backs of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And the GOP and the Democrats are no different. They say one thing, but they do another. A Federal Reserve note, like I said, looks like it is. It's a piece of paper with no backing. This is why the Congress hates gold and silver-backed money, because they force them to live by their means. It means if the Federal Congress had to go on a standard based on gold and silver, you can only pay what you have. It's like you and me and everybody else. You live within your means. So I repeat. Article 1, Section A of the Constitution reads, "The Congress shall have the power to coin and regulate the value thereof." Nowhere in that document gives the Congress authority to delegate this responsibility to anyone, much less private bankers. Now, I don't know if anybody of you you may not be a big fan of John F. Kennedy, but you may see him in a different light today after I explained to you something about he tried to take on the Feds. He, in fact, had foresight what a bad situation it was with the Federal Reserve and the creation of the Federal Reserve. Or maybe he just woke up one night and realized, wow, I have to actually work for the people or do something for humanity. He also had the courage to do something about it. Unfortunately, this did indeed cost his life. On June 4th, 1963, President Kennedy, signed into a presidential decree, Executive Order 11110. You can check this out. Google it. It's a fact. This order virtually stripped the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to loan money to the United States at interest. The President Kennedy then declared that privately owned reserve would soon be out of business. This order gave the Treasury Department the authority to issue silver certificates against any silver in the Treasury. This exec order still stands today, by the way. It's never been applied. And less than 5 months later after, by the way, that the exec order was issued out by President Kennedy, everybody remembers November 22nd, 1963, he got the drive-by. Of course, the United States notes, the famous silver certificates, the real dollars that had been issued, were merely out of circulation. And Federal Reserve notes continue to serve as the legal currency of the United States. It's estimated that 99.9999% of all U.S. paper circulated in 1999 are Federal Reserve notes. So that's now, right? That was 1999. That's 11 years ago. So I say, just follow the money. Follow the money. You'll find there was no one in the world who had a better reason to kill JFK than the banksters. It seems inconceivable that anyone could still think there was no conspiracy in the assassination of JFK, especially when you consider that the many people that were murdered or had mysterious deaths were associated in some form with the Kennedy assassination. I don't want to go into that, but that's a fact. So what's the proof? Is there circumstantial evidence or what? The central banking was met with such opposition from politicians who were suspicious of the central bank and charged that, by the way, this is back in time, that Aldrich was biased due to his close ties to the wealthy bankers of JFK and his daughter's marriage to John Rockefeller's daughter. These are all facts. And here's the other issue. If you're really concerned with action of time, a waste of time, you can look up these things. The Federal Reserve, the United States, the Council of Foreign Affairs Relations, Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergs, all these elites. You heard about how the same common name, Rockefeller, Rothschilds, Windsors, Organs. You think it's illusion, New World Order? Think again. They're trying to lead us on fast track. They laugh at you. They're actually laughing at you because they think you got you're a slave. You got nothing. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do about it? Like George Carlin, they got you by the balls. Or do they? So why are you complaining about the economy, the debts, the taxes, how much the government's spending, what all this bullshit is? Are you really afraid? Do you really want to be play the ostrich with your ass up in the air? So every bankster, Windsor, Bauer, Morgan, Rothschild, Rockefeller can screw you some more? Only we, you, me, us, we can save the Republic, our Earth, our freedom, our rights. You know, Carl Quigley, who was President Clinton's mentor as a professor at Georgetown, once said, they want nothing less to create a world system of financial control and private banks able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. Control in a feudalist fashion by central banks, by the world, acting at in concert by secret agreements arrived at and in between private meetings and conferences. Sound familiar? So I paraphrase what Thomas Jefferson had said, what I said in the very beginning. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men and women are created equal, and that we are all endowed, all endowed by the Creator, God, Allah, with a certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments instituted among and by men and women, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these means, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute a new government. Yes, this is our Declaration of Independence. And of course, I reiterate, I sincerely believe that banking institutions have the eschewing of power of money are more dangerous to liberty than the standing of armies, Thomas Jefferson. If the American people ever allowed banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up all around us, around them, in order to deprive the people, us, of all our prosperity until our children will wake up homeless on the continent our fathers conquered. Isn't that what's happening today? This is not about us versus them. It is about all of us. They are us. This is about all America. This is all humanity. We are not separate. We are not divided. This is an illusion that they want to propagate. So the process isn't against them or against anyone. So stop the fucking hate crap. If you yell it's them or Muslims or Jews or Zionists or some other group, then you're doing exactly what they want. They want you to believe in the fantasy of hate and separation. This is part of the mindset, the revolution of mind that we need. Even they are us. We live in a pattern of light and dark. And the dark side of humanity is part of us. We can change us. We can change us by humanity by increasing its awareness, increasing our frequency. This happens in one simple way. Love. Love. Experience the love, experience the connection. So when you protest, protest with love. Be the flower power. It was love that got us out of Vietnam. It was love that makes us endure. It will be love that will get humanity out of this barbaric system of money or monetary system. It will be love that will move us into the utilization of free energy. It will be love that will stop poverty. It will be love that will be changing the world. In reality, on the spiritual vision above, this pathetic game of risk of economics, with love we can indeed overcome this. With love, our spiritual understanding will get this. With our understanding that we are all really one consciousness, when we merge our understanding and receiving, opening our eyes and minds and our ears from what the universe and nature indeed is communicating to us, when we remove the illusion of divorcing ourselves from the universe, the division, the hate, and the fear of this cancer of divorce will then will simply evaporate. We will then realize we have the ability to change. We have the ability to stand up. So I say occupy. Occupy with love. Go out and occupy tomorrow, October 15th. And with this, with my words, I will say we are all one. One universe, one consciousness, all connected to one another, connected to God and connected to the universe. And with that, I want to thank you for listening to When Pigs Fly, your host, Andrew Fetter. God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you.